Today we shift away from the Gospels to the book of Acts, the sequel to the Gospel of Luke, which is suggested to be written by the same person. He continued on the story, and you've got the disciples and followers of Jesus who had various successes and failures throughout the Gospel, especially at the end, getting a new chapter. A new opportunity to serve, lead, and speak to the followers of Jesus. The opening image today is just outside the gate. I should say images. This is Wrigley Field. Matt Greer and I share a couple things in life. One of them is a complete love of baseball. And also the Cubs, and now I'm more connected to the Tigers as well. I was fine with them, but now that Caroline's going there, I pay total attention to them. So Matt Greer and I both love the Cubs, and this is a section of Wrigley where you can see through the gate. I've been fortunate to go there for work and was fortunate to get to go in a couple times. I've went one time and could not go in, and you can only look through this gate. And if you spent years looking from only the slight perspective of that gate, you can see just a tiny little window. I know that because I travel so much and I go by stadiums so much, even if I can't go in them, you can see just a little sliver of what it's like inside. The last time that happened to me was University of Washington when I was there. You always wonder what it's like inside, not only to see it, but what it's like inside when it's full. What it's like inside when the thing that that entity is built to do is teeming with people and full of excitement. Entirely different image. This is Buckingham Palace. People gather outside this gate, people who love the royals, in both joy and sadness. They gather there to support them for the highs and lows of their life. But they will always remain on the outside of the gate, right? Very few people would go inside of the gate and actually see what it's like. You're imagining, you're wishing, you're watching things go on the other side of the gate. This is an artist's depiction of the second temple. The temple that would have been there when Jesus was walking by. You can see how it absolutely dominated the landscape of the old city. And if you Google that now, you'd see the temple of the Dome of the Rock in that exact spot. We talked 4 weeks about coming over hills and going down into valleys and back up the valley. That is that image. Jesus and his disciples coming over that hill. All kinds of people coming over that hill. As many as you climbed, as high as the elevation as you went, as tired as you were on your journey, one day you would come over the top of this hill and see that temple. But if you only saw it from the outside, you never got to go inside the elements and see some of the important things that were going to happen. Only for the normal people, there'd be those tiers inside of access according to the job. You would be forever just outside the gate. Consider that as we read our text, Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Three people outside of the temple. This is a wonderful depiction by the artist. Because there's nobody else that you're really focusing on. Just these three people. Randy Travis has a song about three people on a bus, right? That are riding to another location. It's only about those three people and what they are going through, not only in this moment, but what has led to this moment. John, depicted on the bottom left. One of Jesus' disciples, one of Jesus' earliest disciples. He, when a Samaritan village was a little rude to them, was part of a group that suggested we rain down fire on that village. He could be emotional about that. One of those who came to Jesus and said, there's other people healing out in God's name. We should go and address it. Jesus didn't react to either one of those requests. He did not want to rain down fire on that village. And he also said to John and the others, if they're doing something in our name, if they're doing good things in the community, we're not going to stop them. So you have a man who was with Jesus from the very beginning, from a fishing village and a fishing family, who stuck with him throughout the highs and the lows, but who also had occasional reactions to people and wanted Jesus to address it. You have Peter standing above the man. Absolute legend for sticking his neck out. He is the giraffe of sticking his neck out for in terms of the disciples, of the things he said, the things he did, things he didn't say, things he didn't do, wasn't willing to do, standing up to Jesus, a force for good and occasionally a force for bad, the same as many humans would be. Then you have the lame man on the steps. He's accustomed to being set outside the gate. Now, it was a generous thing for people to take him and set him there. He wouldn't have made it on his own. But he was accustomed to friends, peers, whomever, neighbors, family, taking and setting him just outside that gate because that was the prime place to be in order to ask for help, financial help. Now, we could have all sorts of discussions on people that do that just to do it, it's a primary income, and people who are forced to do it. This man is in the place of having to ask every single day, which means no matter what he did today, he's got to do it again tomorrow just in order to survive. Put yourself in his shoes without having been in his shoes that way. There are times in your family, in your work, in your church life where you feel like all I can do is get through today. That is it. I cannot do any future planning. I cannot think of anything else. I've just got to get through today. So that's where he is. I am surviving this Tuesday. So the lame man, in my opinion, is the only one, if you heard the gospel story, that you would expect to be outside the gates of the temple. Why? Just consider, it's Acts chapter 3. Not been that long since Jesus' death and resurrection. In the shadow of the temple of which they're going in, and what are they going in to do? To worship God. They are going in to worship God with people who screamed for Jesus' crucifixion. Would you have that mental, emotional, spiritual fortitude to go and worship in the location that took the life of your Savior with people who cheered for it to happen? Would you have that? When I considered it this week, you know, I've told you a couple times in the 2 years I've been here about 2019 and what I felt about what the entire global United Methodist Church was doing and how that threatened everything that I had ever built and learned and how that threatened my family and how I could provide for them and how that threatened where we were going to live and what we were going to do, and decided to do something else. And I didn't go to church. Didn't do it. And then COVID hit. And then I didn't go to church more. I couldn't bear the emotional churning that went on of all the thoughts that I had about the church experience. Now, if you did the less than greater than symbol, and you said, Joe Cade in 2019 with some of the stuff going on in the UMC, or Peter and John and what they went through in Jerusalem with Jesus, which one would you say was the more challenging physical, spiritual, emotional experience? Pretty simple. Yeah, where were they going? Into the temple in Jerusalem. Were their lives even under threat by doing that? I would think they would be. Yet there they were with that man going into the temple. And Peter says, we're going to get you beyond today. We're going to get you surviving beyond a Tuesday to a whole nother day. Verse 7. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. So how remarkable is it that these three men can praise God again? Each of them have experienced such incredible pain and loss, as I've already described. John, deep anger. Peter, deep regret. The lame man, deep pain. We've felt all three of those. We've at times been crippled by all three of those, or one of them. Sometimes all three of them come at us at one time. And we're just trying to bear the weight of what we are experiencing. And if we're honest, we consider, is God paying attention? God paying attention to what we're going through here? Some people then turn to, wait, is God bringing this on? Is God making this happen? Just read a couple of Psalms and you'll hear those people express, I'm pretty sure you're not paying attention, or else you're actively making this happen. People who write Psalms write that about God. It's cathartic to write it. It's cathartic to see it. But look at what's truly happening of three men who experienced that deep pain, anger, regret, and loss. I give a lot of credit to the people who were in the temple seeing the man jump, because you could consider those people thinking his jumping and doing all that in that space is not appropriate. Consider the times that Jesus healed someone and the leadership at the time said, that's not proper, it's not what you should be doing. They didn't celebrate the healing. They talked about the rule of what you should not be doing. That didn't happen here. It's a different outcome. And each time there's a different outcome to the positive, I think we ought to celebrate it and try to live it. These people are excited of what happened for him. And when you get known in a community for a behavior or a look or a work ethic or whatever it may be, it's hard to change that reputation in a community. Yet here they are recognizing him and who he is. Let's read verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and in the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see." So these years in the true business world, I've learned more and more how much you have to let things go. If you you can document them, you can bring them up, but number one, it ain't going to do anything. And number two, it's probably going to do something bad. Just let it go. He does not. Peter doesn't say, "You know what? We're going to call it even. Isn't this amazing?" He says, let me tell you something. You people, this is what you did in the past, but I'm telling you, you haven't stopped it, number one. And the God, the thing that you were trying to stop is tied to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom you're here to worship. Number one, you're not stopping it. Number two, you shouldn't want to stop it because it's from the same God that you're coming here to speak about. It's remarkable. So the last bullet is when God's vision meets our vision. And let me read these through to you. He saw Peter and John as people that could get him through the day, the lame man. Peter saw him and saw a person that needed to be liberated. The man heard Peter say, "Look directly at me." The people saw the disciples and the man who was healed. Peter saw their reaction and declared an empowering message in the face of so much adversity. And what I love is he ends the story with, "As you all can see." May we pray for vision. May we truly look at each other. May we know that God truly sees us. And may we move on from regret, anger, bitterness, and pain. May not always be illness, because the gift of life comes with illness. But those other things we have power over, and Peter called those people and himself and that man to live in that power that we all can see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would like, you can join me in the modern affirmation in your bulletin. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the ground of our hope, and the promise of God fulfilled. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, a source of strength and comfort in times of joy or grief. We believe our faith should be displayed by our actions and our words, so the kingdom of God may be a present reality here on earth.